Well, once again, this team fails to win three straight games. But what is going on, guys? Welcome back to another post game here on Rangers Central. As the Rangers lose 3-1 to the Edmonton Oilers, tonight was pretty much the summary of why you don't pay your goalie $11.5 million a year. Because you see on the other end of the ice, Stuart Skinner, which one, he had a far superior defense in front of him. But on top of that, he outplayed Igor tonight. So, there you have it. There you have it. That is your summary there. The power play couldn't do anything. And I really hope, it's going to happen, but I hope that we don't hear any of the players in the post game being like, you know, but we played well tonight. There is 12 games left, right? 12, 14, whatever it is. My math is off. Yeah, 14 games. Sorry, 14 games left? Or is it 12? I don't know. I can't math. Either way, there isn't a lot of games left. I don't want to hear the moral victory crap tonight. 14, yeah. I had a feeling my math was off. I don't want to hear the moral victory crap from this team tonight about, well, you know, we played well, and we were right in it with one of the best teams in the Western Conference. I don't want to hear any of that tonight from them, because at the end of the day, you need 2 points down the stretch here. You got Montreal right up your keister, which they have 2 games in hand, and they are only 1 point behind, and for at least tying. And you know, Columbus is behind with, 2 games in hand as well, and they're 2 points behind. So you got to get these points. I like the style of it in terms of losing at the very least. You know, just not good. And again, it just, the power play was terrible today, which is something that we've seen lately. It looked a little bit better. At one point recently, forgot which game they actually were converting on the power play, but right back to just not converting at all. You had that Will Cooley goal, getting to the net, crashing it. Outside of that, they generated chances at points, but not enough. I mean, a lot of it was one and done. They were making the extra pass way too much when they were in the offensive zone, getting pressure, especially in that third period where, again, they were getting the pressure at points, but making the extra pass, because the passing and the puck movement tonight was the biggest reason they lost this game. Just completely unable to move the puck out of their own end, completely unable to move the puck through the neutral zone. And don't get me wrong, Edmonton played unbelievable in the neutral zone. I don't want to take that away from them, but if you want to show that you're going to actually do anything in the playoffs, you didn't help your case tonight. And when I heard them say that Draisaitl was going for 50 goals tonight, I wanted to puke, because you look at the top two Rangers goal scorers and you just see Panarin at 29 and then Trocheck at 20. So those two combined have the same amount of goals as Leon Draisaitl. And I get Draisaitl's one of the premier talents in the NHL, but it just made me want to vomit just thinking about how, Why can't we just have something like that for once in our damn lives? What else is there? I mean, the defensive play, just putrid. I just don't understand why this team is incapable of covering the slot. I just don't understand it. But really, a lot of it was the poor puck moving up the ice. You have Chris Kreider just making numerous blind passes. And then Adam Fox on that McDavid goal, just not handling the puck at all in the neutral zone. The Arvidsson goal, you have Brent Hoffman just throwing the puck away in the offensive zone. Just very sloppy with the puck tonight. And I really hope that they are aware that they don't have someone good enough to play with Adam Fox right now. Now, again, I'm not letting Fox off the hook tonight, but Euro Vakanainen, not it. Really is not it at all. And that Arvidsson goal, Igor cannot let that in. He just can't. It just can't happen at all. They fed right into Edmonton's game all night long. Gave them power plays. Turned the puck over 50,000 times. Let them thrive in transition. Like, they let Edmonton dictate the entire night. And you're not going to win when you're letting your opponent dictate the night. Obviously, that goes without saying. But especially a team like the Oilers, you're just not going to win that game. So, yeah. Leave a like on your way in if you haven't already. Subscribe. Turn on your notifications. All that stuff. If you're listening to the audio version, that's what I was going to say. I lost my train of thought there. If you're listening to the audio version, give a 5-star rating and review. I would appreciate that. You could listen to me on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever your podcasting platform is. Go ahead and give a rating and review. Like I said, that would mean the world to me if you do listen to the audio version. But, yeah, again, like, just way too much slop. Just way too much. They missed the net way too much, too. And so did Edmonton, honestly, because if Edmonton came anywhere close to hitting the net more, I mean, the high danger chances would have been through the damn roof tonight. So a lot of those chances, they were just missing the net on. JT Miller on that one on the power play. And, I mean, this is another thing that JT Miller has been taking a lot of dumb penalties lately. I've not been thrilled with his play over the past few days. Like, there are moments, obviously, in each game where you're like, yeah, this is the guy they trade for. But then he does stuff like that so much. And, I mean, I think this is fair to say that he's been mid the past few games when they need him the most right now. They need him to be way better than this if they want to make the playoffs. Yeah, a lot, especially the first period. The turnovers in the first period, especially, it happened all night long, but I think I said out loud, maybe like, and I'm not exaggerating, like 15 times I might have called out a turnover watching this game. In the first period alone. And just the lack of willingness to dump the puck in at points too. I mean, they haven't won 3 straight since the middle of the NFL season. To put into context where we're at with this. That's very disappointing. Actually, it might have been before the midway point. So when was it? October or November? I mean, October, let's see. They had 4 straight there in October. Then was this... No, I don't even... Or, yeah, no. Yeah, they won 3 straight against the Sharks, Kraken, and Canucks. So there you go. There's your last time they won 3 straight. So it's their first West Coast swing, and they're going back on the West Coast after this week, so... Not ideal. Not ideal in the slightest. Do I think they are cooked? If you mean in the terms of the playoff odds, no. But, you know, again, my opinion still remains the same. They'll probably get in because the Eastern Conference just is not good at all right now. It's going to be harder if they keep doing this whole, you know, win two, lose one thing. But even if they get in, I have no expectations. Prove me wrong, but I have no expectations. If they are cooked, then, I mean, they're cooked in the sense that they've been cooked for a while in terms of just, you know, the way they've played. I mean, it's been this most of the year. That's why when they won the game they did against Columbus yesterday, cool win, but you have tonight. And yeah, I mean, this goes without saying that Chris Kreider should have been benched alone for the amount of turnovers he had in that first period. Everyone has games in hand and are only 1 or 2 points behind the Rangers. Keep shooting themselves in the foot because they can't gain ground, get the third win or even an OT point. Yeah, I know, but really depends. Let's see the strength of schedules for the NHL, because that could determine things here. So the Rangers have the 12th most difficult schedule. Columbus is 8th. Montreal is 17th. And who else is really in that mix? I guess Detroit, who has they have the toughest schedule remaining. So I don't know, because when you see games coming up against teams like the Ducks and Sharks, I mean, you got to think they get one win here in this homestand. I mean, if they don't win a game this homestand, then it's over. But I don't know. I just feel like they're still going to find their way in. And that's not me saying that I feel like they're great. And like, I'm not saying it with confidence in my chest out, but I don't know. I just get this gut feeling they're going to find their way in. We'll see if they beat Calgary. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, you put Igor in for the back-to-back, anticipating to win tonight. You don't. Now, because that was the only argument I understood for putting Quick in, where it's like, the problem is they were never going to, you know, think with this mentality, because it's just what it is with pro athletes, but, and it's just a pro coaching staff. I had this thought in the morning where it's like, all right, maybe they should play Quick tonight. Just let him get his tits lit. You're probably going to lose to Edmonton anyway. And then just let Igor play against Calgary. I don't know. I mean, Quick has not been sharp as of lately, so I wouldn't say it's a lock they beat Calgary, but, you know, we'll see. Because Calgary's also a respectable team this year, and the Rangers do, for whatever reason, struggle against that team. I don't know what it is. Yeah, Calgary, they need that win badly, because they're 2 points below the playoff line with a game in hand. I don't know if, do they have the, they would get the tiebreaker with a regulation win too, so that's a big game coming up for Calgary. I mean, yeah, you're right about this. Not enough consistency. And that could be a reason they don't make it. But again, if they make it, they make it. If they don't, they don't. Like, I have no strong feeling one way or the other. If they make it, it is what it is. If they don't, it is what it is. Because if they get into the playoffs, again, zero expectations. So I'm indifferent. Yeah, we touched a little bit on this before that, and I agree with this, that Othman has definitely been underwhelming, which I don't mind him playing because of the fact that, who else are you playing? Two, the season's just what it is. But yeah, he's definitely been underwhelming, and, you know, it's fine. It's fine. I won't say it. I won't say it. I'll bite my tongue on it. But you, most of you probably know what I'm thinking. If you've been around here long enough with this channel, you know exactly what I'm going to say. So there's no point even saying it. Do I want the coach gone after the season? Yes, because the man-on-man defensive system is atrocious. So I want him gone. I think the GM needs to go. Will it happen? Probably not. Probably not, but I think that I think they need to gut a lot. They have a lot to gut out here. They get in the playoffs, it just prolongs the agony. Yeah, it's like the I mean, this is exactly what I was going to say. Well, pretty much. I was going to say they could have moved him at the deadline last year to get additional help. But yeah, this is my thought, that they held on to him and then they're burying him on the third and fourth line as well. So again, where's the consistency? It just makes no sense at all. Just doesn't. You get a haul for bread. Yeah. I mean, I agree that I think they need to fully finish demolishing the core. What am I drinking? A the Mountain Valley water. No microplastics around here. Islanders came back 2-0 from the Panthers, Sam, because I saw at one point they were out shooting them like 13-1. And then out of nowhere, Florida goes up 2-0, and I'm like, oh shit. And then how's that? Yeah. And this is why in the playoffs it's a struggle for him. It's exactly why. It's just the same stuff there. Scouting staff does need to go. And that one analytics guy, cannot believe when I read that they have one analytics guy, I truly wanted to puke. I really did. How do you have one analytics guy in your front office in 2025? I just can't, I can't comprehend that one bit. I agree with this, that they could try Mika back in the one-time spot on the power play. Is it going to work? I don't know, but you might as well try something. Yeah, surprisingly, it surprised me that they did have one, but I also wanted to vomit that it's only one guy. And clearly he's not good enough at what he's doing. Who should the Rangers go after this offseason? I got to see how things shape out. richest franchise in the league, and you can't give your front office the right resources to succeed. Literally, just so ass backwards compared to the Mets. It's funny. Yeah, I don't get it either. Speaking of slappers, though, the amount of just horrible shots they take from the point blows my mind. I've been just screaming about it all season long. I just do not get it. I can't comprehend why. Let's see. I didn't say they played terrible tonight, but, and I did say Edmonton is the better team, but way too many mistakes. Way too many. Might have missed it, but any positives on the night? I mean, in terms of positives on the night, Will Cooley scoring was nice to see. I thought that trying to like really even think honestly. I mean, it's not like they played terrible throughout the full 60. Like there were points where I liked their game. It's just that again, like they were getting offensive pressure at points, just making way too many extra passes or getting too sloppy with the puck. In the third period, especially. And, you know, some of the defensive play was all right, but again, like, there was just a clear, there's just a clear difference between the Oilers and the Rangers. Yeah, that's beating a dead horse here at this point. I'm not saying like it's a problem that you're saying it, but it's just like it's exhausting that it's the case because I agree. And meanwhile, you have Joe Micheletti. Well, you know, they got to find Kreider. That the deflection work is magic. It's not 2022, man. It's just not. Thoughts on how Igor played? He was okay, but not good enough to get the win. And he's being paid $11.5 million to help steal wins. And again, I get it that you can't expect a shutout from him every night, but when you get out-dueled by Stuart Skinner, it's a problem. And you can't let in, especially that second goal. High glove. Thank you for the $2 here. Chris Kreider, hashtag the game has left you. Well, thank you for the two. And yes, it unfortunately looks like the game has left them. Kaliev is hurt right now. Robbie, that's why. That's why he hasn't played. He's on the IR for the rest of the year, I believe. If I'm not mistaken, he is. The Islanders ended up beating Florida. Well, that's another team that could get back into the mix here. They have three games in hand on the Rangers. Wow. Or it'll be two, I guess, actually, when the standings update. So they'll be at 68 points. It's a long shot for them, but, I mean, they'll technically be in the conversation just because of the games in hand there, but obviously you got to win those. I don't think they're going to make it. I want to make that very clear, but they're at the very least going to be in the mix because I think we play them as well, or the Rangers play them, yeah, in April. So that could be a big game. Thank you for the $2, Dr. Sex. Thanks for ripping the streams day in and day out. No problem. Thank you for supporting, being here so I'm able to do these streams all the time. So thank you. I appreciate that. Where is Parsonen? Love his game. They might put him in next game after tonight. They might have to put him back in if Othman's going to continue to play this way. And they might have to put Othman back down Hartford. Yeah, I didn't bring this up yet, but when I saw that last night, that genuinely upset me. That really hurt to watch Hedl go down again, and he's got to probably just end his career at this point. He's back in concussion protocol. That was an unnecessary hit, too, right in the numbers, and you couldn't even see Jason Dickinson in that clip until, like, 2 or 3 seconds in. So clearly he was skating in, and your team is down 6-2, and you're throwing that hit. Just a scummy hit. And I don't even think that he's facing any discipline for it, and they didn't call a penalty. That was a bullshit hit, and I just feel bad for Phil. I really feel bad for him. And I get the perspective that Ranger fans have where you hate to say it, and it's sad to say, but there is truth to it, unfortunately, that this is why the Rangers wanted to move on from him. But it's still at the same time just very sad. I just saw Carson tweeted, unrelated to this, but I just saw Carson tweeted, Juan Soto wasn't even a Met the last time the Rangers won 3 in a row. Wonderful. I liked Phil Hedl a lot, but this is why I didn't want to get rid of him. But I did. I felt going into the season, they need to get insurance for him. But once it got to the end, I felt, okay, maybe they should, because it is getting to a point where it's like, it's frustrating to deal with. But because when he's healthy, I freaking love Phil Hedl. But the problem is, it's just those concussions. It's just sad. Really is. Because he could, truthfully, without injuries too, because you have to keep in mind how much of a mental toll it takes on him and how much he has to, like, adapt his game to the fact where he's just always got to have in the back of his mind that he could just get lit up at any moment. And with the limited ice time he got, he really could have been a consistent 50 to 60 point guy. And on that contract he was on, if he was healthy, putting up 50, 60 points a year, I think every Ranger fan would have freaking loved that. And he would have just been the perfect middle six center for this team. But it's just unfortunately the way that it is with him. And maybe the ceiling was even higher if he was able to just be healthy, like no concussions in a world, perfect world where he didn't have any concussions at all. Maybe there is a world where he does go north of 60 points at one point in his career, but sadly that's not going to be the case. And yeah, I mean, he needs to retire. He's 25 and has had what, five, or this could be a sixth concussion now. Sucks. Yeah, here's another fun one. The Rangers won three straight games during the opening week of college basketball, which ended today. That's great. All right. I'm going to wrap up the stream here, guys. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and watching. Leave a like if you enjoyed. Subscribe. Turn on your notifications so you know I upload or go live. And I'll see you guys in the next one.